Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
Welcome back to News and Views. The 2016 election is now less than a year away, and the heated battle for the Republican presidential nomination continues to dominate political news, with outside candidates still leading the field in national surveys. The latest Elon University poll finds that's true in our state as well. Here to talk about how North Carolina voters feel about the presidential race and the battle for the governor's mansion in 2016 is Jason Husser with Elon University. Well, thanks for being with us on News and Views. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Let's talk about the latest Elon University poll. A lot of questions about our political candidates. A lot of folks buzzing about the presidential race with obviously the most of attention on the Republican side. Where are North Carolinians right now in your data in terms of who they prefer?
North Carolinians are reflecting the nation in one regard, in that outsider candidates still are getting the bulk of support. Ben Carson appeared at the top of our GOP list with 31% of Republican voters in the state. Donald Trump followed with 19%. So between the two of them, they're commanding a solid amount of support. Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz were tied for third place with just about 10 points each.
This survey was conducted before the recent sort of raft of publicity about Dr. Carson.
This is right. This survey was conducted right after the last debate, but before the information about sort of his views about the pyramids and the scrutiny that typically is brought on to a front runner.
What about former Florida Governor Jeb Bush?
Jeb Bush, in some ways, did the worst in this poll if you considered his performance in previous polls. So he's down from our poll in September. He's now at less than 5%, at 4.6%. And what is perhaps even worse news for Bush in this last poll is that he's no longer ahead of Hillary Clinton in a head-to-head matchup.
I thought an interesting question was the second choice after folks, because I think there's some perception that voters are still sort of, I don't know if the word is aspirationally, but sort of not seriously considering all the candidates. I thought the question about the second choice was interesting. What did you find there?
What we found with the second choice is that we know that come election day for the primary in North Carolina, all of these candidates aren't going to be on the ballot. So what we found with the second choice is that Rubio is doing actually better there than he was in the first choice. So he's at 13.6%. Carson and Trump still lead that, but their leads are much smaller. So in the second choice question, Carson shows up at 15.1%. Trump shows up at 14.3%, followed by Rubio at 13.6% and Ted Cruz at 9.6%. This is a good sign that as some candidates start dropping out, some of their support will be going towards Cruz and Rubio, and it suggests that Cruz and Rubio are the next major stars to rise in the GOP nomination.
It looks like the Democratic presidential primary in North Carolina is following a trend in most states. It looks like it's Hillary Clinton's to lose.
The Democratic primary is very much Hillary Clinton's to lose. We showed her at 57% compared to Bernie Sanders' 24%. O'Malley's still hanging on there at about 2.5%. So at this point, Hillary Clinton would have to make a major mistake in order to lose that level of support. We also see a national trend if you look at crosstabs of support in that primary. So what we find there is that Hillary Clinton is doing much better than Bernie Sanders among African Americans, and she's also doing much better than him among women.
You mentioned the head-to-head between Clinton and Bush. Tell us a little bit about how Hillary Clinton, who does look like the presumptive nominee unless something dramatic happens, how she fares at this point in North Carolina against some of the leading Republicans.
It's impossible for us to ask head-to-head matchups between Clinton and every single Republican, so we picked five Republicans who, going into the survey, looked like they were in the lead. We asked about Bush versus Clinton, Carson versus Clinton, Trump versus Clinton, Fiorina versus Clinton, and Rubio versus Clinton. What we found in those five head-to-head matchups is that Clinton beats each one of the Republican candidates with the exception of Ben Carson and Marco Rubio. In the case of Ben Carson versus Hillary Clinton, Ben Carson's at 48 and Clinton is at 43.5. In the case of Rubio versus Clinton, it's closer. Rubio is at 46.4 and Clinton is at 45.3. What's perhaps most surprising in that is that in the head-to-head where we ask if the 2016 election was between Republican Donald Trump and Democrat Hillary Clinton, who would you vote for? 39.8% say Donald Trump, 49.5% say Hillary Clinton. Clinton beats Trump worse than she beats every other candidate in the field.
It looks like that Clinton has improved her standing some, even against Carson, as she's still losing. What do you make of a little bit of momentum from her?
It does seem that she came off the first Democratic debate with some momentum. Most commentators will agree that she had a very strong performance in that debate. Sanders also had some pickup from the debate, but it does seem that both Clinton performing well and Joe Biden dropping off, more Democrat support consolidating around her, has helped her. We did see greater, some hints that there were perhaps greater levels of enthusiasm among women now than in the past. Our surveys almost always match census demographics, and then we place restrictions on them to make them reflect registered voters, and in this case, somewhat likely voters in the election. Normally, what we see is that that does not change the gender demographics, but in this case, we saw that the percentage of women in the survey went up once we place restrictions on the person's likelihood to vote.
I know this may sound like an odd question, but how do you know if people are paying attention? It seems like, I guess, there a lot of people are paying more attention the more debates they are, the more publicity folks get.
We know that people are paying less attention now than they will be later on, but we did ask a question about the debate. Did you happen to watch either of the debates among the Republican candidates for president that were held on Wednesday or not? So this was asked near the end of the survey, so we didn't bias things. We found is that 39% of North Carolinians did watch that Republican debate. So that's a pretty fair amount of people paying attention to the race, especially when we often don't see turnout that much higher than that.
Finally, a couple of questions about North Carolina. Again, one is our governor's race. Attorney General Roy Cooper does have some opponents, but I think he's the presumptive nominee. How is he faring against Governor McCrory?
We have been asking head-to-heads on this gubernatorial race for a while, and what we found is it's been very close. We've shown McCrory up the prior two polls, but now we're showing Cooper up by 4.8 points. So if the governor's in North Carolina race was between Republican Pat McCrory and Democrat Roy Cooper, who would you vote for? 44.8% said Roy Cooper, 40% said Pat McCrory. I don't expect that to sort of stay that way. I would expect that you will see changes in the governor's race. For one thing, the week of our survey, there was some negative news items about the governor, about prison contracts that could have impacted some folks, as well as in some ways McCrory is taking some of the backlash that perhaps people are who have negative feelings towards the GOP field.
And it looks like that shift was primarily due to Cooper doing better with independents.
Cooper improved among independents, and part of that, I think, is that he started some ad campaign. I was in my classroom and trying to pull up various polls of gubernatorial elections and Senate elections going on in the United States, and every time we did that, there was a Cooper ad. So in some ways, Cooper has been more actively campaigning now than McCrory has. So I expect that this governor's race in North Carolina is going to be very close and down to the wire up to the last minute. It's going to be one of the more exciting governor's races in the country to pay attention to, and certainly more exciting than McCrory's previous race in 2012, in which he had such a strong lead the entire time.
And are independents the key?
Independents are key, but in many ways this election will come down to mobilizing certain groups. Barack Obama's success in North Carolina in 2008 was in part that he did turn out independents in his favor, but even more so it was that he mobilized groups that typically did not vote in such high numbers in the state. So he mobilized in particular young voters and African Americans. The challenge for Democrats will be to try to replicate that historic victory. If they're able to do that, particularly at a presidential level, it will benefit Roy Cooper. My guess is that's sort of an uphill battle, so it's going to be interesting throughout.
Well, thank you very much. Very interesting information. We'll be talking to you as the election season continues. Thanks for being with us.
I'm looking forward to it. Thank you.
That's it for another edition of News and Views. Look for us on the web at ncpolicywatch.com. For producer Clayton Hinkle, this is Chris Fitzsimon. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week.
You've been listening to News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon, director of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com. News and Views, a weekly look at state and policy issues, is a production of the North Carolina Justice Center.